All right, what's going on, everybody? We're back on Guest Friday. Great to be back with you folks. I know it's been a couple weeks since we've done a Guest Friday, but we're finally back and it's March Madness season. Sam Brown's here, and Sam, great to have you. Great to talk some college hoops. Best time of
Yeah,
the
thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Garrett. This is really exciting. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into this. I think should be an exciting tournament. We're here on Wednesday afternoon, a little bit less than 12 hours before the all the madness starts Thursday. Obviously, had a couple play-in games that took place last night. There'll be a couple tonight. Overall feelings about the tournament this year.
I mean, I'm hoping I don't end up on Old Takes Exposed if this is coming out Friday. If the listeners listening on Saturday morning, drinking their coffee after like the whole round of 64 has already happened. But yeah, I mean, I'm pumped. This is my favorite sporting event of the year. And like even I don't know, I'm just excited for it. I think one of the big things you're talking about storylines earlier is that there's a lot of the usual suspects are back, and I think the same teams have really held down the top spots all year long. So, there's of course there's always something crazy that happens, but I can't help but wonder if the usual suspects in like your cream of the crop's gonna be who the last people stand and last team standing.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting to see. Obviously the four number one seeds were, I would say, pretty good throughout the season. You have Auburn and Duke and Florida and Houston, teams that I think not super surprisingly based on the way that they've played the majority of the season. But yeah, I think it's going to be a good tournament. Should be exciting. It always is. It's always unpredictable. And it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a lifelong dream of mine to be the first person to have a perfect bracket. I'm a little bit worried about this year, just simply because it hasn't happened for me yet. I've been picking brackets, so like, I mean, I didn't pick a bracket when I was one, but I feel like first bracket maybe when I was eight. So here we are, like 15 years later, no perfect bracket. Let's say I pick like. I mean, I pick several brackets a year. I like the way I sort of like to do it is I pick two like for real, 'cause like what is that when I picked like five different brackets trying to guess all everything correct? Like I'm like, oh, look at me, my fifth try, like got it right. No, like I think you gotta have like one or two. I think three is fine, but because of the way things are so unpredictable, I like let me pick a bracket based on like jerseys and logos. Let me pick a bracket where like I truly flip a coin for each and every matchup, because that's what it feels like sometimes. A lot of these games do come down to what feels like a coin flip. But when I've thought about national championship teams in the past, I would say like I've truly had like two correct predictions. One was I was all over UConn last year. I mean, that's not like the craziest thing to say at all, but they were one of the best college basketball teams I've ever seen. And then another one was Kansas, back in, I want to say that was like 2022.
Okay,
Both
sure.
those teams felt like they could win it a lot of different ways. If you can win in a shootout and not miss a single three-pointer and be that skilled, that's great. If you can gut out a win, scoring less than 70 points, also great, and just like be dominant at positions one through five, be switchable, play tough defense, run up and down the court. If you go down by 10 with like 6 minutes left, like what are your chances of really coming back? If that's a game that's within your striking distance, then I like your chances to go deep in March a lot, because there's gonna be times I think for each of these final four Elite Eight teams that it's gonna get scary. But it doesn't have to be the death nail when you go down late in the second half.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think like teams that are able to withstand, the big runs against them, or if they get down in the second half of a game, are they able to keep their composure? I mean, it's usually those teams that do well, and the teams that don't, don't advance. And it's like, I feel like there are a couple teams that I've watched at different points this year where kind of get concerned about, if things don't go their way, it's like, okay, what kind of team are we going to see? So, I think that might fit the profile of a couple of these like top teams. But, as you said, like it's sometimes it is clear to see different teams where it's like, okay, they can beat you in a number of different ways, can play a few different types of styles.
Right. I feel like some a point of conversation I hear, just like on other sports media, what have you, is that there's a lot of different styles of basketball, and you can really try and draw a line between who plays fast and who plays slow, who turns the ball over, who doesn't.
Right.
And I don't think playing fast necessarily like leads to, not all turnovers are created equal, right? I think there are some turnovers that are just really ugly. If you're dribbling the ball off your foot, like totally errant pass, whatever. If you're getting your pocket picked over and over, these aren't looking good. But if you're really trying to play hard and fast and dribble the air out of the ball down the court, and you're getting a couple deflections here and there, like these are the types of things you can live with. And there's some matchups like that. People like to point at, for example, Drake versus Missouri. Drake's a team that I'm expecting to slow it down a bunch. Missouri is all about running up and down the court. The same can be said about St. Mary's versus Vanderbilt. St. Mary's plays it awfully slow. Vanderbilt's really excited to go run up and down the court. And I mean, this sort of like leads into where I'd be happy to jump it off. That I personally, I'm going to stick with Vanderbilt and Missouri in these matchups. These are the teams that I enjoy watching. I think these are teams that can cover a lot of ground if they go down. They can create open looks, 3-on-2 basketball up and down the court. So when I was filling out my bracket, I didn't want to be in a position where I'm like, oh man, I have to guess like every single matchup right. I took a little grace upon myself, college expert, maybe like take off the hat for a second. And just sort of go with who do I want to win? I've watched not all of these teams. I definitely can't claim I've watched all these teams. But I've watched an awful lot of them, and I know which ones I like more than others, just as far as a spectator goes, as far as just being enthusiastic about them, wanting them to win. So that's really what I did is I picked my matchups based on, what would make for an exciting next round. So yeah.
Gotcha. So, you talked about Missouri as one of your teams to watch, and they're in the West region. Florida's the number one seed. If I can find out who the number two seed, I don't have it memorized.
Yeah, it's St.
Utah.
John's down there. Do you want to go region by region? We can start
What I
off
was thinking.
in the south, top left. How do you wh in what order do you fill out your bracket, Garrett?
Let's see. Yeah, I usually do top left corner. So yeah, I did south. So yeah, actually, why don't we start there? But yeah, we can talk about the south region. Auburn's number one. Michigan State's number two. So yeah, let's start here.
Sure. I picked Auburn to go pretty far.
Okay.
I think they're perfectly capable of going deep all the way through the Final Four. They had a little bit of a lull at the end of the season, but like I'm not reading too much into it. What team doesn't? Bruce Pearl's been a coach who is, no question about it, successful. But is he like in that highest echelon of coaches? There's no reason why he can't be, but he isn't. He's made a Final Four, and I don't know. This is the team, I think, for him to really go ahead and get it done. They go deep. They can really shoot the three ball. And I think what you're gonna find in like what separates a good team from a great team this year is, do they have a center you can really lean on? Specifically one that can play defense. And that's what I really like about Jahni Broome. Like I think you can just get it done on both sides of the ball. So I do have them advancing to my Sweet 16, but I actually have them losing for the reasons I was just expressing, that a team I have my eye on, I'm very enthusiastic about. They just fire me up, they get me going, and that's Texas A&M. I think they got what it takes to go to the Elite Eight. So the deal with Texas A&M is they got two guards that could really play off the dribble, shoot the ball. Wade Taylor, the fourth, has been one of my favorite college basketball players for the last few years. He's a playmaker. I think he's not necessarily undersized. He'd be undersized for the NBA. I want to say he's like 6'2", not the biggest frame, but he can play excellent on and off ball defense, get his hands in the passing lanes, create deflections, and run out in transition. Shoot, I'm forgetting the other guard's name. He's come into form really well. And oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name. Where are you? Phelps. He's taking the one guard spot, but both can play make in the half court for sure. And then they have a bunch of forwards, like big heavy forwards that can play also the center position, play above the rim, really physical. They're eager to get after loose balls. They do struggle to score at times, but when I'm looking at who they've got Yale, who plays very similar to Texas A&M. I think the winner of that is actually going to be in a really nice position to move on to the Sweet 16 versus either Michigan or UC San Diego preceding that game. But if they can get through Yale, which I think they will, then I think they're going to beat up on Michigan. Michigan's turnover prone. They have their 7-footers, which I like against UC San Diego. That's just a small team. And Michigan's hot right now. So I'm not betting against Michigan in that first round, but I think they're going to be matched up with an overwhelmingly physical team in Texas A&M. And that's why I like Texas A&M to play Auburn in the Sweet 16 there. And then, just the 8-9 matchups are always a toss up, right? And I'm just going with Louisville. They got Chucky Hepburn, who he's just a fun watch. I think he's one of those guys where, like, I remember watching him a lot in Wisconsin and be like, oh, geez, Chucky, what are you doing? Chucky's chucking. He plays good defense. I think he's a guy that, like, there's nowhere else to go but up, and he's gotten better. And I like the story of Louisville coming back from, like, having a pretty bad season last year to really putting things together this year. And they have a really, like, this 8-9 matchup is, I want to say, better in years past. I mean, I'd have to do my research, but Louisville's 27-7, Creighton's 24-10. Those are both, like, good records. Both conferences weren't amazing, but I'm not going to say, like, we could talk about North Carolina. I don't think either of these teams are too bad at all. I just could see Creighton has this problem of really going on terrible lulls, and Louisville's a team that will just put them in the torture chamber. And so that's why I'm taking Louisville there, but not enough to beat Auburn. But yeah, what do you think about, as we go to the second half of this South region, what do you think about North Carolina? Finessing their way in there, I guess, is one way to put it, but what do you think? What do you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's arguments to be made that they should or shouldn't be there. And I always feel like teams like that, I think either we will, go on a deep run or they won't do anything at all. And I feel like, you saw them play in the first four last night and they were, unbelievable, scored 95 points. I don't know if that's more based on the opponent, but I certainly think like they're playing with some momentum. And I think, I'm kind of curious about Ole Miss and the SEC because it's like, yes, they had 14 teams make the tournament, but what do they look like in a different environment? I'm kind of curious about that. So kind of like UNC to win a first round game, but I don't know how they would do beyond that.
No, I want them to win too. I look, if I was a West Virginia fan, by all means, I would be enraged. But, like, look, I like watching North Carolina. They have three guards, Seth Trimble, Elliott Cadeau, and RJ Davis, and all three of them are really, really good. Like, really good. And I think guard play is the most important part of March Madness. Is, like, again, there's going to be a part of your game where you're going to be in a really, really tough spot. You're going to be in desperate need of a bucket where bad things get worse. North Carolina's got three guys that could do it for him, especially RJ Davis. I mean, that dude is, I think, just, like, top three toughest, like, players to guard in one-on-one situation in college basketball. And He showed it last night. I mean, they just went at San Diego State. They that was a team that looked dialed. Like they were, it was almost like, all right, is North Carolina, did they play their most dialed game of the season too early? Like I think the way they played last night, where they were just eviscerating San Diego State, and San Diego State was the perfect matchup for them because neither team has a true center. They really go with three guards, two forwards. But wow, they were locked. And they could have beaten anyone in the country with that energy last night. And I think Ole Miss is a really good matchup for them for Friday. And I do have them beating Ole Miss. And then I who knows? Like North Carolina is not a team you can be like, oh, Cinderella, North Carolina. But you know, I have them playing Iowa State, and I think Iowa State's physicality will get to that, you know, North Carolina team, just given how North Carolina is pretty small. And I think Iowa State, not massive, but like their physicality, I think they might be able to move them around on the glass. But it might come down to shot making there. So that's a really interesting round of 32 matchup if that's what happens. And then I got Marquette. This is an interesting game. I hear good things about New Mexico State. They got Rick Pitino, son, I think his name is Richard Pitino.
Yes.
Yeah, so they let me down last year. Again, like I can't pretend to be a college basketball expert, but I know what I know. And I had New Mexico going on a little run last year and it didn't happen. So, and you know, Richard Pitino is a coach that people get pretty excited about, of course, the name notoriety. But when it was at Minnesota, man, I was never moved. I was like, all right, Minnesota, like let's get after that, run them out of the gym. I don't know. And yeah, here we go, the Michigan State bias. I mean, definitely got to address it. I'm pretty pumped. I mean, the team puts teams in torture chamber. Like the defense is remarkable. The story of the season is they go deep. Izzo plays 10 guys. Shooting can be iffy, but it's fully gotten better. And I will take a bad start with a better finish any day of the week. The problem they run into is they probably got, you know, four or five guys on the roster that can really, like, they should be able to shoot, you know, any given night 60% from three. Of course, you can't project that from every player. But the problem is like, you know, of those like five guys that need to get it done on a night-to-night basis, only two of them do. And that's not going to cut it if they're going to make a Final Four run. They need to come together as a team and really let that ball fly and watch go through the net. But the defense, and you know, Izzo is another guy. They bring it up every broadcast. Oh, he's super old. How's he still getting it done? And a lot of it is credit to his personality and connecting with young guys, and building relationships and being able to be active in recruiting. But the tenets of his like philosophy stay the same. It's just like hard-nosed switchable defense in the half court, create stops, and then just run. You got to have a point guard that can pound the air out of the ball coming up the court, playing above the rim. These are all things Michigan State does. And this is the best team I've seen since like my freshman year with Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman. I'm not sure if it's as good as that team. Honestly, both were going to be two seeds. So here we are. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I like what their chance against Marquette. Marquette's a good team, not a great team. I think Michigan State's just straight up better. Just put them in the torture chamber again. You know, I want to make sure I got this right. Is it Kai Jones?
Or
Marquette. Cam Jones. No, I'm definitely making this is, yeah, it's Cam Jones. All right, I wasn't too terribly wrong. He's good, but I would love to see just Trey Holloman just put a blanket on him. I mean, just like put a blanket on him and don't let him get shit. Are we allowed to swear on here?
you can let it fly. It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. That one's passable. PG-13.
Yeah, that's okay.
But yeah. And then Iowa State. That's a matchup that does make me a little nervous for Michigan State. Both teams play very similar styles of ball, just like really tough defense, get out and run. We'll have to hit threes against Iowa State. Iowa State doesn't defend the 3-point line that well, but like, that's something I never have truly understood. Does that mean you get taken off the dribble from the 3-point line, or is this like you're letting up threes? And I, you know, if the statistic references, you know, 3 point shots given up, is that because you're, I guess I would take it that your transition defense isn't very good, because that's where teams like to really let the most effective three ball go, is wide open transition three, you know, a catch and shoot. And so that's where I think Michigan State would put some harm on Iowa State, if I'm reading that stat correctly. Is playing fast in transition. And if they're vulnerable from three, then I have to hope that three ball goes. But if they're vulnerable in transition period, then that's going to hurt Iowa State too. And then, you know, I'm rooting for A&M. That's like, it's just a squad I got my eye on. I got them beating Auburn. I don't want Michigan State to play Auburn. I think Michigan State against a dominant center, they're in trouble. We have good centers, but they're not great in a 1v1 against another good center. And that's, I think, the Achilles heel for this team, if it's also just like horrible shooting. But I just don't want to play Auburn, and Texas A&M sweet. They're fun. So I got Texas A&M versus Michigan State, and Michigan State advancing to my Final Four in that region.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, one upset pick there that you could see.
Yeah. Well, I would say I got a couple. I think, well, the bookmakers, they're saying North Carolina is the favorite against Ole Miss. And dude, I think North Carolina Iowa State could be a really fun matchup. But I think A&M advancing to the Elite Eight, that's my matchup, or that's my upset there, because people really like Yale as well. I think because both teams play so similar, I'm gonna give it to A&M. Just like, let their athletes be the better athletes that day. But yeah, going against Michigan, you know, I'm rocking with A&M. That's a team I enjoy watching a lot, and that's why, this is again why I picked my bracket this way.
Gotcha. Can move over to the east. Duke is the number one there, Alabama number two. You mentioned the St. Mary's and Vanderbilt game. Any other matchups that you think would be interesting and maybe what you expect
Yeah.
region?
So I am really enthusiastic about the bottom half of this region, starting with BYU, VCU, and everything else, you know, further down. BYU's fun, man. They get out and run. They shoot the three ball really well. This is a team that coughs up the ball. Like Michigan, they just cough it up. Can't get enough to turn the ball over. Errant passes, just like a little icky, not great. I've heard, you know, VCU is one of these teams where, you know, college basketball expert, not so much. I don't know if I can really wear that crown, because I've never seen VCU play once this year. I don't know a thing. Word on the street is that they have a good backcourt, and this gives, you know, this is one of these things that maybe I get, you know, I'm gonna rock with BYU here, but maybe I get exposed. Old takes exposed Saturday afternoon listeners, or I guess this game plays Thursday. Like, man, Sam, like, Garrett, who's your guy? He didn't even watch VCU this year. Like, I don't know, but I'm sticking with BYU. I'm rocking with Wisconsin. I'm a little nervous about Wisconsin for one reason. They looked so tired versus Michigan. They had to play three games in a row in the Big Ten tournament. The Big Ten's never easy. I get that. They went to the finals, which is great. They just could not miss from three, their first game of the tournament. Or let me think. So they played Northwestern, and then they played, who did they play after that? Maybe they played four games in a row. But what I'm trying to say is they look tired. They cannot buy a shot versus Michigan. They look stressed out in the half court. A lot of sitting around with the ball, watching the ball, was just fed into Michigan. That's why I'm not buying a ton of stock into Michigan. A lot of people have UC San Diego taking care of Michigan, or they got Michigan going on a run. I'm not buying either. I got them losing to A&M, but and back to Wisconsin. This is a really good Wisconsin team. They got four guys that can just take you off the bounce, and Klesmet, John Tonje, Gilmore, and Blackburn. Those four guys are studs. They can score in a variety of ways, and that was what I was trying to say earlier, is if you can cover ground, both defensively and offensively, come back from deficits, that's something I really like about you. And that's why I have them beating BYU. I think if they can also force BYU to turn the ball over with better defense, I'm sticking with Wisconsin to advance to my Sweet 16. And then, St. Mary's versus Vanderbilt. If Vanderbilt could take care of the ball and make St. Mary's uncomfortable, this is a really tough matchup for me. I don't know who to go with, but I'm going with who I want to win, and that's Vanderbilt. AJ Hogarth, one of my favorite players. He's exciting to watch. He makes stuff happen. He's a true playmaker, but sometimes he can cost you. Sometimes he's the reason you win, and that's just exciting to me. So that's why I'm taking them over St. Mary's. And then Alabama's interesting. So of these teams, of these smaller teams, automatic bids, Robert Morris is the only team I've gotten a glimpse of. And they got this guy. His name is Alvaro Fulgieris. He's good. I mean, I don't know where they got him. But he is good. He's like 6'7", smooth with the ball in his hands. He can shoot, he can rebound, he can pass. Like, I think Alabama is coming against one of those March Madness characters that, is a name we all know by the end of the first weekend. And Alabama, so the thing about Alabama, and I would say the same thing about Florida, Tennessee, or Tennessee maybe not so much, but of these SEC schools that can just score the ball in bunches, when people say about the NBA, oh, they don't play defense in the NBA, I think we both know that's not true. I think we can respect like how good, like, and not all the time. I saw your eyes roll, but like I would say more often than not, like they definitely can play defense. But like, why is the score like looking crazy? Why is it like 110 to under 20 point games? But it's like Alabama. They just are so dialed in on offense. They do let some stuff go on defense, but I can't really say they're bad at defense either. But they are going to rip 90 points on your head in 40 minutes. And that's something I'm really enthusiastic about. That's what got them to the Final Four, was it last year? And so I think if they can handle this Robert Morris, which Robert Morris is one of those teams where if you want to sprinkle a little something on one of these underdogs, like something really crazy, I don't know. Robert Morris might be that squad because Alabama's missing Grant Nelson. I don't know if he's expected to play or not. And he is one of these guys that would guard the Robert Morris player I just mentioned. He's an inside out forward, plays a little bit of center, but and I really like Grant Nelson. I think if he can come back sooner than later, Alabama's in great shape again. They're in good shape. Now, the other thing I need to mention about Alabama, which I haven't really gotten a chance yet, I mentioned it a little bit with RJ Davis and Wade Taylors. I just love a guard that can create a shot when the team needs it most, and that's Mark Sears. That's a dude that can just get it done.
Gotta watch.
He's a guy to watch for sure. So that is, again, I got it's the responsible thing to do. I'm taking Alabama over Robert Morris. I'm taking Alabama over Vanderbilt. Alabama versus Wisconsin, that's where things get a little freaky. We got two teams that are just really good, really, really good teams, fully deep. This is a true toss-up. I don't think there's a wrong decision to make here. I'm going with Wisconsin. I'm just vibing with them more. That's my Big Ten cousin right there. Like I'm just rocking with them. If you got Alabama, like by all means, like I don't think that's a crazy pick at all, but both teams are deep. Both teams can score. Both teams can play some defense. I'm just going with Wisconsin. That's who I want to see win. Fun tidbit about Wisconsin is that they are on pace to have the best three free throw shooting season of all time, which is just fun. I think that's the type of stuff that matters a lot in March when the nerves kick in and they're fouling with like 2 minutes left, and you got to really just sort of like maintain your lead that way. But it's also, the March Madness big brain in me wants to be like, all right, this is when it also all falls apart. But I guess I'm just, it's just not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. It's like, could I get hit by a bus today? I don't know. I could, but it's probably not gonna happen. Wisconsin, are they gonna miss their free throws? They might happen, but it's probably not gonna happen. But that's why I'm taking Wisconsin over Alabama. It's just like, don't get hit by a bus, Wisconsin. Do your hardest not to, and you'll be good. The top, I mean, Duke is filthy. I mean, have you watched any Duke this year? I mean, they're on a different level. Sorry if I'm ranting too much, Gary. Feel free to interject if you have any questions
Not at
or anything
all.
like
Not at
that.
all. No, I mean Duke is definitely a fun team to watch, I think, with Cooper Flagg and all the talent that they have.
Yeah, I think anyone's first impression of Duke, there's a lot of first time college basketball watchers for this season, starting on Thursday and whatnot. I think if in your first few games of watching and you tune into Duke, Friday at 2:50, your first impression is gonna be like, whoa, like these guys are just straight up bigger than everybody else. It matters, man. Like I love my small, gritty point guards, but if you don't have anywhere to like drive the ball, man, like I get a little worried. I get a little bit worried. There's a lot of talk about Cooper Flagg being out. As a guy that's like rolled his ankle a million times before, I'm not that worried. Like, sit out this first game, sit out the ACC tournament, but be ready to like go off when it's time in the second round. Don't play any games against Mississippi State. Don't get too cute. Just don't get too cute. So I think he'll be back. He'll be ready to rumble. I'm not worried about Duke. And then Mississippi State Baylor, 8-9 game. It's hard to call. I like Mississippi State. I think they're just a little grittier than Baylor. I just feel like whenever I watch Baylor, they just lose. I mean, what am I supposed to say about that? Like, they got one of the best freshmen. What's his name? Vijay Edgecombe, and he's really good. I just like feel like they lose, man, every time I watch him. So I'm just out on Baylor, and I'm rocking with the grittier Mississippi State squad. Miss Josh Hubbard's really fun to watch. He's 5'11 on a good day. Super bouncy though. He can finish around the rim. He's physical. That's just a guy that I swear he's just in great shape. And I think Mississippi State's just gonna wear down Baylor. Oregon Liberty, don't know a thing about Liberty. Hand up. Same thing about Akron. Don't know. Do you know? Or is
No,
this something that, yeah.
college basketball has kind of fell by the wayside for me this year,
Yeah.
I admit, but
So let's just get chalky with it. What do you think?
yeah, I would agree. Like I like Oregon. I like Dana Altman as a coach.
Yeah.
Arizona, I think, like, well coached as well, playing in a different conference this year. I mean, probably one of these teams will get upset. I wouldn't be surprised.
Sure.
Really know much.
And yeah, I'm going with
Goes.
Arizona versus Oregon in that next
Yeah.
matchup. I think Oregon's beaten who they needed to beat. They had a great end of the year. I'm looking at their season synopsis. They got smacked around by Illinois. That's one where I'm really, if I'm convinced about Oregon, they beat Illinois. They handled business against Maryland, which I like, but they did not beat Purdue. They did not beat Michigan. They did not beat Michigan State. I don't know. They beat Wisconsin, but Wisconsin, I think, played bad more than Oregon played good, if that makes sense. So like I'm not really buying what Oregon's selling, and I'm thinking Arizona. And then Arizona versus Duke, that could get frisky, but Duke's just better, man. I don't know. Arizona could get frisky with the Caleb Love March Madness demon, but I don't know. I'm just taking them. And then in that Elite Eight, I'm taking Wisconsin just out of fandom. I think beating Alabama is going to get them all riled up, but also like, look, Duke is nasty. The it's like an angel and the devil on my shoulders, and the devil's saying Wisconsin's super fun, like let's get after it, and then Duke's like, oh no, like we're straight up better than them. So I don't know. I'm taking Wisconsin. I think that I've enjoyed watching them more, but yeah.
So you're making the final four out of there.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Wisconsin and make my final four.
So I will. I'll be very honest here. Zoom is, cutting us off after 40 minutes.
Yeah, I can
I
see that. So let me just speed run really quick.
Oh, well,
Memphis.
I can always. All right.
Or do you just wanna end and restart?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Let's do it. Yeah. Because I yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, so we'll be right back. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. Part two of this Guest Friday went a little long, but Sam's back. We're previewing now the West and the Midwest region. So yeah, we can jump right into it with Florida, the number one seed in the West, and
Yeah, Florida's great. I think they share a lot of similarities to what I was saying about Alabama, where they can just get out and run. They just kind of reflect in a lot of ways. What you feel when watching an NBA game when it's just a lot of effortless scoring, ball sharing. They're one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the nation, if not the best. There's more to like about Florida than dislike. That is for sure. After Florida, the UConn Oklahoma game, this game's got some storylines because UConn has the potential to three-peat. That's exciting. They're not going to get it done. I mean, that would be crazy if they did. I mean, again, listeners on Saturday are going to have something to say about me, but like UConn's not going to win the national championship this year, but it's a really exciting storyline to have that potential, the three-peat. This is an exciting matchup. I mean, 8-9, again, it's a toss-up. You're gonna watch two really good guards go at it. They're both shooting guards, but they're gonna ball handle a lot. It's Solo Ball versus Jeremiah Fears. Both guys are good, like NBA potential through and through. So I think these are two names that the winner of this game, this could be a name that the average college basketball fan's gonna know. I watched one game. It was I want to say it was Oklahoma versus Michigan, or it was in one of those. It was not the Maui. It was the Battle for Atlantis, and he just took over, just throwing that three around, and Jeremiah Fears did. And yeah, I'm excited about this game. I'm going to take Oklahoma just because I don't know. I mean, this is tough. Like, I would like to see UConn and Danny Hurley like win. I would also like to see Oklahoma win. I'm going to go with Jeremiah Fears though, just because his brother Jeremy Fears is the point guard for Michigan State. So I just want some good family energy in this tournament. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma, but that's a toss-up, man. I think what UConn is missing is the center. Reed gets in a lot of trouble sometimes, just both not playing good, foul trouble. I'm just not enthusiastic about UConn, really. But I'm looking at their schedule and what they've done this year, and it was like I was saying about Oregon, but maybe even better. Like, they've beaten who they've needed to beat, but they haven't beaten like the St. John's. St. John's been top of the conference. So I'm not like enthusiastic about a deep UConn run if they can't handle like who they need to beat. But they beat Marquette twice. They beat Texas, who is a tournament team. They beat Gonzaga, who's a tournament team. They beat Baylor, who's a tournament team. I don't really like Baylor, but I mean, UConn's good, not great. Both these teams, good, not great. So it's a toss-up. Memphis. I'm excited about Memphis. Memphis is one of my squads. Yeah. So there's what I like about Memphis is Penny Hardaway made his like introduction to coaching college basketball by recruiting the hell out of these freshmen. And it got him really nowhere. Amani Bates, Mikey Williams, like those are tough freshmen to just sort of like start off your career with. So I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. Now he's got some transfers in. And these guys are sweet. I'm really enthusiastic about Memphis because people haven't really talked about them because they don't play in a Power Five conference, but they've been top 25 all year. PJ Haggerty's a stud. Like he can really shoot the three. Like I was saying before about these guards, I want guards that can create when teams need them to create the most. I like Memphis, but they're not deep. If they get in foul trouble, they're not looking good. I think they only really run two or three big men. They have three guards. Like they really only go six, seven deep, if that. That part I don't love. Colorado State is actually favored in this game. I don't really see it, honestly. These guys out in Vegas, they got their computers, they got their spreadsheets, they can do this and that. But you know what? I'm going with my guys. I really enjoy watching Memphis. I am going on a run. I have them beating Maryland in the next round. Maryland's sweet. The Crab Five is sweet. That's I think the winner of, that Maryland, Colorado State, Memphis, those three. And I can't write off Grand Canyon. It's March Madness, but I'm rocking with Maryland because they play good defense. They struggle shooting the three sometimes. I think when they go cold, they go cold, but I still like them. Those three teams, I could see this as one of those parts where it gets kind of weird. I'm taking Memphis to beat Florida because I just think they match up well if they can stay out of foul trouble. But maybe this is just a bad take because Florida put Tennessee in foul trouble in the SEC championship game, and that's really kind of what did Tennessee in. They got Chaz Lanier to foul out when Tennessee started to like make like a late run. So Florida's better than Memphis. I get it. Makes me want to change my pick right now, but sometimes you gotta like you stake your flag down and just say, I'm rocking with Memphis.
Gotcha. Rest of the bracket, do you like St. John's in the bottom there?
Yeah, I like St. John's a lot. They stink when it comes to shooting three, but look, beat Omaha. This is a team that doesn't make mistakes. And they play so hard. Team defense up and down the court. They're great at finishing the basketball around the rim. And if they can figure out the 3-point shooting enough, then I think this is a really good part of the bracket to be in. Arkansas is a little tricky. Kansas has been probably the biggest letdown of any team in the country. I don't recall exactly where they started the season off, but it was top three. And they have just been moving way back. They're a 7 seed now, so they're like between like the 20. They're gonna basically like 28th. Like 32nd best team in the league, or in the country. So like, I'm not enthusiastic about Kansas, but they do have senior. They have a nice mix of seniors and freshmen. They can rebound the ball pretty well. It really comes down to, I mean, Hunter Dickinson's get a headline, but DeJuan Harris is their most important player in my mind. He's the guy with the ball in his hands the most, and if he's not looking to score, and this is a team that can like struggle to score the ball. And it just takes away from his ability to distribute the ball if he's not a threat to score. And like there's a guy like Zeke Mayo, great 3-point shooter. I'm a big fan of his. But if he's not put in positions to score the ball himself, I think he's easy to defend. This is an interesting matchup, Kansas versus Arkansas, because Arkansas plays, it's a carbon copy of Cal's Kentucky, or they just like to run up and down the court and shoot the three a bunch. So, this is a early exit or like a potential for a deep run in Arkansas. And I don't know. I'm just a little bit sick and tired of the Hunter Dickinson experience. I want it to end. So I'm taking Arkansas, but this is a toss up. Honestly, I'm more enthusiastic about this Kansas Arkansas matchup than I am that UConn Oklahoma as far as these 50-50 games will go. And I guess Memphis, Colorado State, the 50-50 game. I don't see it. I watched a little bit of YouTube of Colorado State versus Boise State. It was kind of like whatever. I don't know. I'm taking St. John's over Arkansas. Missouri plays awfully fast, but they're playing Texas Tech. Texas Tech is probably the best team that I hate being on your podcast saying, oh, I haven't watched much Texas Tech, but I've not watched much Texas Tech. But they're good. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot more to say beyond that. So in March, sometimes you gotta go with the streets are saying. The streets are saying Texas Tech's been good all year. There's no reason to really doubt them now. So I'm rocking with Texas Tech. They're gonna play St. John's in my Sweet 16, and I'm gonna take St. John's to beat them up, and then I'm gonna take St. John's again over Memphis. I think this is the end of the line for Memphis. Slash Florida. I might still switch up and take Florida because Florida's really good. And Memphis is just not as good as Florida. But look, if I'm ever gonna have the perfect bracket, I gotta get some of these crazy things right. You know what I mean? So Memphis, please don't let me down. You play at 2 p.m. on Friday. Hopefully I can tune into that. This is a really important part of my, like I am actually much more confident in Texas A&M than I am Memphis, just because of matchup wise. Like and I just don't want Memphis to get put in foul trouble because they don't run a deep bench whatsoever.
Okay.
So if their big men foul out, I'm cooked. And I think St. John's going to put a lot of pressure on them, just in terms of physicality, running up and down the court, putting them in foul trouble. So I'm going to take St. John's, and that they're going to go to my final four. Now, if we look to the last region, the Midwest,
Midwest.
there's this. This is the bracket. This is the region. I don't feel inspired at all about a lot of these teams, but there are like two to three teams that are just like sitting underneath my nose, and I don't know what to do. So like, starting at the top, I love Houston. Houston, I have going all the way to my Elite Eight. I think they're going to handle their business. Gonzaga will be a good test against them. And Georgia too, maybe, but I'm thinking Gonzaga. Clemson, I like just because they're just deep all the way through. I don't really know, I don't know much about McNeese, but I'm gonna take them. Purdue, I like because they have another point guard that can just get it done. And Trey Kaufman-Wren is their forward center, and he's good. He's another guy just like very solid. I'm not gonna expect the most out of him, but if he can give them. Trey Kaufman-Wren, if he can give a high point 15 or more, I'm not worried about it. And Braden Smith is good for 20 and 8 and 8. Like that, he's good, man. He kind of has like the offensive shooting package of like a Devin Booker as far as like a fadeaway three, or I mean fadeaway two, playing off of 2 feet, always being pretty square with the basket. I really like Braden Smith a lot. And then being creative with his releases too, but he runs a great half court offense. I mean, he's averaging 8.7 assists a game. Like that's really incredible if you really think about like just 40 minutes of basketball. Like he doesn't come out of the game. He's just solid. So I have him beating Clemson. I think Matt Painter's a better coach. I think this is like middle part of the bracket. I'm not like super enthusiastic about. I just think Purdue has the experience to get it done with the point guard skills to play Houston. But that's the end of the line for them. I think Houston, bigger, stronger, faster, they're better than Purdue. And then I'm not inspired by Illinois. So this is a weird one. I'm Texas Xavier plays tonight as we record this on Wednesday. I'm gonna go with Xavier. Actually, I don't know. This is a toss-up. What's funny about Xavier, the potential of Xavier playing Illinois, are two teams that just cannot win a close game. They're just not able to get it done. Their shot making goes to dirt and they lose the game by like a handful of points. And I don't know what to make of it, to be honest. So I'm gonna go with Xavier simply because I have less tape on them. Like when I saw Illinois not be able to score a basket in 6 minutes to like close a really competitive game versus Michigan State, one that both teams really needed bad for a Big Ten title chance in January. I was like, I don't know about Illinois. They don't have a point guard to like handle and get themselves out of these like bad situations. Because again, you're gonna go down by 10 with 6 minutes left. What do? Illinois, answer, not win. Xavier, also not win. Texas, we'll see if Texas beats Xavier tonight. I do have the winner of Texas versus Xavier beating Illinois. I don't know. It could go either way. Like this makes me want to take Illinois again, but sometimes you've got to trust your gut. Like I hate the way Illinois plays in tight games down the stretch. Kentucky's good. One of their best players got hurt and has been out for the year, but they're deep. I just like what they can do. I don't know anything about Troy, but Mark Pope seems to be a good coach. I'm taking Kentucky to beat Troy, and I'm taking Kentucky to beat Texas or Xavier. I mean, if the tricky thing about these play-in games that are happening like last night and tonight is that it gives a lot of momentum. I think about UCLA going to the Final Four after playing in one of these games, but I think UNC is going to be that team this year if there is going to be one, given their experience having been to the Final Four. RJ Davis, there's just more to like about UNC's potential to do that sort of thing than there is about Texas or Xavier. So I'm taking Kentucky. I am taking Utah State over UCLA. UCLA struggles to score the ball. Not necessarily in the same way about Illinois, where they just go ice cold. Just UCLA is just not that good. but they're scrappy, they're tough. You can say the same about Utah State, but when I look about the amount of points they're scoring a game, then I'm just gonna take I'm gonna take Utah State in that situation. Where was I seeing their average points per game scored? But anyways, oh yeah, here we go. Utah State's averaging 81 points a game. Like, that's high. UCLA 75, and I'm just not moved by UCLA. They do have one of those gangly, like, 7'2" centers. He might even be taller than 7'2". It's just something to keep an eye on. But when they were playing Michigan State, he didn't have touch around the basket. And what's the point of having one of those guys when they can't score the ball? Zach Edey could absolutely score the ball. And that's not something I see in UCLA. So I'm taking Utah State. Tennessee's going to handle business against Wofford. I got Tennessee handling business against Utah State. This is what I'm saying about Tennessee, is they're right underneath my nose. And I think this is a team that has what it takes to win the national championship. And I have them beating Kentucky. That's a great game. I mean, that's just rivalry basketball, like blue versus orange. They both love their checkers. Like, I think there's a lot to like here. When rivalry basketball happens, throw everything you think you know out the window. If you think Kentucky's a worse team than Tennessee, that day they're just as good as Tennessee, and Tennessee's just as good as them. So I think the winner of that game, if it is Tennessee, given that they might be responsibly better on paper, they could put up a real fight versus Houston. But I think Houston finally has got it with their shooting. So I'm going to take Houston. I just, again, I'm going back to what I said at the beginning of this podcast. I'm picking the teams I've enjoyed watching the most this year. And Houston's one of them. They're so tough. Like, they will do anything to win every, like, I would say them, Michigan State, and St. John's are the three teams where every single possession is the game to them. And that's the way they play. And that just fires me up. And that's why I got Houston going to my Final Four. And then I think that's when I, again, like, oh, Wisconsin, like, I have them beating Duke, and this is like the season. Like, but what a gauntlet they've had to go through is like the Big Ten tournament where they played every game, followed by playing who I think is going to be BYU, then Alabama, then Duke, then Houston. No, like, I can't buy it. Like, I'm going with Houston over Wisconsin there. And then I'm going Michigan State beating St. John's, because those are my dogs. Like, what am I supposed to do? Pick St. John's over Michigan State? Are you kidding me? What's fun about that game is that they're just carbon copies of each other. Like, run up and down the court, just like all the way in on defense. Like, they're gonna go out and like stab each other in the gut, in the stomach, in the neck. Like, it doesn't even matter. But I'm gonna take them just to get it done. They're gonna find a way. I mean, two legendary head coaches, like two of the oldest coaches in the game. But like Patino, like Izzo, like he's young at heart. His character and demeanor is young. But more importantly than that, they're not playing like old head basketball. Like, this is what basketball looks like today. It's run up and down the court, play tough defense. What is funny about both these teams being in the Final Four, which goes against a lot of what I would like to say a Final Four championship winning team looks like, is that neither team really shoots the three that well. And they're going to get in a tough spot where they need to shoot the three prior to making the Final Four. So there's a case to be made about both these teams not making it, but these are both two teams I'm very excited and enthusiastic about. I'm taking Michigan State. And if I got Michigan State in my final, then there's no way I'm taking them not to beat Houston. But Houston's filthy. Houston is better than Michigan State on paper. There's no question about it. Like, it's tough, but I'm gonna take Michigan State to win my national championship. But yeah, look, there's so many matchups that I pointed out throughout this podcast about why I'm more confident in some teams beating others. Like, heck, I got Auburn and Florida both losing to a 4 and a 5 seed in the Sweet 16. So this is not the most conventional bracket,
No.
but look, conventional brackets don't or just aren't perfect either. So, who's to say?
Sure. Great to be able to go through all these games and, kind of hear your thoughts, because I think this tournament's going to be fun. You know, the tournament's always fun every year, and there's all kinds of great moments that happen, you know, unpredictable still. You know, I think that sure there might be an element of like, oh, you know, a lot of the top teams are way more talented this time around, but I still think like you're probably going to get some really good games and really good matchups.
Yeah, I think you do you remember, of course, there's always just a couple characters that, just come out and you're like, oh my gosh, like how did I not know about you before? Someone who just comes to mind, of course I'm forgetting his name. Do you remember when Loyola Chicago beat a really highly ranked Illinois team with Kofi Coburn?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, who was that center they had?
Yeah, I'm not gonna
Krutwig.
remember, but I know him.
Cameron Krutwig. Who like it's a
Oh,
name we
sure,
never knew
yeah.
before that weekend.
Yeah.
And he goes off and he gets it done. So,
Yeah.
who's to say? Who's to say? This is why I got Michigan State going all the way. I picked my four favorite teams I've enjoyed watching the most to make
Yeah.
my Final Four.
Course.
I would say my biggest toss up games, and I would just love to see A&M go on a run. I would say my pick that is a true dark horse that I can put some my money behind, my reputation behind. I really think A&M can just make a run. They've had enough letdowns this season. I think that fit them. I'm looking at their schedule. They lost to Alabama. They lost Kentucky. They lost Tennessee. They lost to Florida. They lost to Auburn. Those are the other five top teams in the SEC. But I think for A&M's sake, they have all this experience. This lose oh, sorry, they beat Auburn. But they have this experience playing a gauntlet of the SEC. And for them to play against a Yale that plays very similar to what they do, a Michigan that coughs the ball up, and then you get those two momentum winners going into potentially Auburn, and you've already beaten Auburn before. That's a storyline I like. So if I can like leave like one hot take, it is A&M to make my Elite Eight. I would say that the Duke Wisconsin one's a little ridiculous. I think Wisconsin could beat Alabama, but I don't know if they're beating Duke, but whatever. And then I would say the Memphis Florida one's a little ridiculous, but hey, like this is what you do.
Yeah.
And Tennessee though. That's the team that I think is right under our nose. I think Houston's, I think don't be too eager clicking around, writing in your bracket to, think a little bit about Tennessee.
Well, Sam, this is great to have you on. Great to talk college basketball. Go, you know, preview all these games in this tournament that I'm sure is going to be great to take in for anybody. So I think, you know, obviously, as you said, recording this Wednesday afternoon, probably will get this out there Thursday so that people can hopefully listen to it before the game start. But great to have you as always, and look forward to having you back on at some point, whenever that is.
Yeah, thank you, Garrett. This was wonderful.